and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center. And always on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. Confirmation hearings beginning for Health and Human Services Secretary nominee Robert F. Kennedy Jr., who has questioned vaccines in the past. Democratic ranking member of the Senate Finance Committee, Senator Ron Wyden from Oregon, says,
"This is the profile of someone who chases money and influence wherever they lead, even if that may mean the tragic deaths of children and other vulnerable people."
But committee chair Senator Mike Crapo of Idaho, Republican, says,
"Regardless of political party, everyone in this room shares a common recognition that our current system has fallen short."
The White House defending its move to freeze federal funding, saying it's only temporary. A federal judge has blocked the freeze until court hearings can be held about it. Police say at least 30 people have now died in a stampede at a huge religious festival in northern India. Another 60 people were rushed to hospitals. This is ABC News.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
For WRCE 107.7, I'm Joanne Krulatz. A former state assemblyman has died. David O. Martin, 93 of rural Muscadet, died January 22nd at home. In 1960, Dave was elected to the Wisconsin Assembly and represented Nina Menasha from 1961 to 71. He ran as the Republican candidate for lieutenant governor on the ticket with Jack Olson against Patrick Lucy and Martin Schreiber. During his tenure in the legislature, Dave was known for his ability to work in a bipartisan manner to achieve passage of legislation. Issues related to the environment, education, economic development, and good government were important to him. Two signature legislative initiatives attributed to Representative Martin were the Wisconsin Wild Rivers Law, which passed both houses of the legislature unanimously, and establishment of the Wisconsin Vocational Technical System, which he co-authored with former Representative David Obey. He held numerous leadership roles and committee chairs, including Assistant Majority Leader. He worked with former governors Gaylord Nelson and Warren Nelson during the 1960s, which he termed the environmental decade in Wisconsin, on a number of bills that laid the foundation for future initiatives to establish Wisconsin as a national leader in environmental protection and outdoor recreation. Dave remained active in Republican politics throughout his life, including the 2024 elections. He also served on the board of several organizations and supported many other groups. He served on the Board of Common Cause of Wisconsin, as Richland County Representative to the Lower Wisconsin State Riverway Board, was president of the Three Eagles Foundation Incorporated, was a strong supporter of Southwest Wisconsin Technical College and the River Alliance of Wisconsin. For WRCE News, I'm Joanne Krulatz.
It's the Badgers and the Terrapins. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Wisconsin Badgers are at the University of Maryland tonight to take on the Terrapins, named after the Diamondback Terrapins, a small turtle found around Chesapeake Bay. It's been their mascot since 1933. Now, six of the Badgers' next eight games are on the road, but Greg Gard says it. No big deal.
We'll have some nice box meals for us, I'm sure, turn in when we fly to Maryland, stay in a good hotel. Right? There's much more difficult things in life. I don't think it's a big deal. Go play. Where do they want us to play next? All right, we'll be there.
Number 9th ranked Marquette on the road last night, beating Butler 78-69. NBA, the Bucks losing again in Portland, 125-117. Milwaukee simply could not stop the Trailblazers.
I thought they got what they wanted all game, honestly. I never thought we established any kind of defensive presence throughout the game.
That's the Bucks head coach, Doc Rivers. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
I'm meteorologist Brandon Bormans. Mostly sunny, not as warm today, but still a very nice late January day with highs in the upper 30s, still a bit on the breezy side. Mostly clear tonight with lows in the mid-20s. Sunny and warmer again on Thursday, still breezy with highs near 50. Right now, it's 36.
Ever tried balancing a dozen eggs in one hand while hopping on one foot? Or maybe juggling cats while riding the unicycle? Sounds ridiculous, right? But guess what? That's exactly what texting while driving is like.
Your human brain only has the capacity to focus on one thing at a time. So when you're behind the wheel, give driving your undivided attention.
Don't drive distracted. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
The Todd Alba Show.
The argument from my former party has been, it's not the guns, it's mental health. Well, no worries, folks. Governor Evers has got you covered. He introduced a plan to put millions of dollars into mental health, particularly for young kids. And the Republicans in the chamber did not clap. If you can't be it for kids, then what the heck can you be for? Jeepers, criminy.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local civic media radio station and on the app. Todd Alba.
Hey, everybody, join us next time as we'll sort through the Wisconsin Supreme Court race with our friends Pat Kreitlow of Up North News Radio and Trigvi Olson of the Lincoln Project. Join us.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2. News from the Center, WRCE.
Good morning. Welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair and Calvin Butenoff coming to you live from our studio here at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us, call or text. The number is the same, 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching in the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. It is Wednesday, January 29th. The average price of a gallon of 2% milk in Wisconsin today, $3.11. The average price of a dozen large eggs here in the dairy states, $5.48. We have a very busy show coming up today. Calvin, Greg, of course, is off. He's off for a couple of days. He will be back next Tuesday. But Emily Zephos is going to be joining us at 10:33. She's a mom. She is a community advocate. She is on the ground. We're going to be talking about a birthing center now in western Wisconsin, considering closing and what that is going to mean. Dr. Kristen Lyerly will be here after the 11 o'clock news. The hearing for Robert Kennedy Jr. is underway as we speak to be the head of the Department of Health and Human Services. And we're going to talk to Dr. Lyerly about what that would mean for us here in Wisconsin, especially when it comes to our health, the health of our children, and getting vaccinated for things that have essentially been eradicated, like polio. We'll talk about that with Dr. Lyerly after the 11 o'clock news. And we will wrap it up, as we always do, with This Shouldn't Be a Thing. Today it's the I Can't Believe It's Butter edition. If you ever have a thing that you think should not be, send it in to Greg and Calvin and me at janesays@civicmedia.us, JaneSays. Jane Says at civicmedia.us. That's the address. Also, if you have a guest that you think would be great that we should have on the show, maybe there's something going on in your community that you think needs a little spotlight, or if you just want to make a complaint, absolutely send it in. Jane Says, JaneSays, Jane Says at civicmedia.us. Galvin, we're to start off, though, with the big news that broke yesterday and essentially caused panic pretty much around the country. Donald Trump announced a spending freeze, kind of out of nowhere. This isn't something that he campaigned upon. A federal judge fortunately stepped in and blocked this freeze of federal grants and loans. A nutrition program for low-income Americans, they're looking for an explanation on this funding pause throughout the day. This is from the Bulwark. The Trump White House tried to deflect, obfuscate, and bluster. Republicans found themselves scrambling to assure voters that Donald Trump didn't really mean what he had said. There were Medicaid portals that shut down all over the country, and people were freaking out.
Well, I guess with Donald Trump, it's kind of expect the unexpected.
Expect chaos.
Yeah, and I mean, while he didn't campaign on this, I feel like there was always kind of this undercurrent that something like this could happen, as far as, because I mean, the tax cuts for the wealthy have to be paid for somehow.
Absolutely. I mean, and we're talking about, I have seen numerous different predictions on what this will cost the American people. But just extending Donald Trump's 2017 tax cuts is going to add another $4 trillion to the deficit. That's going to have to be paid for somewhere. So apparently we want to cut Meals on Wheels for senior citizens, stopping Head Start programs, canceling school lunches. That's the best way to do some trimming in the federal government. It seems to me that there are some agencies within the federal government, it should be much easier to look at where you can trim some things. I don't know. I'm thinking about the Department of Defense, which, if I remember correctly, has not successfully passed an audit for a decade. Think about that. The Department of Defense hasn't been able to successfully pass an audit for a decade. But we're going to go after Head Start programs and seniors who get Meals on Wheels. Sure, makes perfect sense to me. In fact, back in July of last year, on July 24th of 2024, Wisconsin's very own Glenn Grothman held a hearing on wasteful spending within the Department of Defense. Do you remember, Calvin, maybe this is a little before your time, when we would hear about the $900 hammers that the Department of Defense was buying when you could buy like a $35 hammer?
No, I'm not familiar with that reference. But I mean, to me, it just seems like the Department of Defense is the easiest, I guess, portion of the government for private equity and private contractors to latch onto and
get some contracts, and some nice juicy contracts.
Yes, siphon money from. Because anything that a private company could do could be spun in a way that the Department of Defense could say that
we need
it's
this.
A priority.
Right. Yeah. We need this. Well, surprisingly, and not among many, there was some pushback yesterday, even among some Republicans, certainly not all, because among the things that would have been shut down, again, this has been stayed now until Monday, these halts, these freezes in federal funding. But the order also includes a section called Terminating the Green New Deal that freezes hundreds of billions of dollars in money for various infrastructure projects that were launched during the Biden administration. And that money has already been approved when they passed the Inflation Reduction Act and the bipartisan infrastructure law. Now, members of Congress have gone back to their districts, even if they voted against the infrastructure law and the Inflation Reduction Act. They've gone back to their districts and said, look, I brought back $7 billion for our bridge. Look, I brought back millions of dollars so we can do upgrades for our airport. Now they're a little peeved by this. Representative Don Bacon, a Republican from Nebraska, represents a purple district in the Omaha area. He told a publication that Donald Trump's executive order is alarming for his constituents. They have been counting on $73 million from the bipartisan infrastructure law to upgrade the airport in Omaha. Representative Bacon said you can't just determine what laws you want to execute and which you don't. I don't know. It looks like you can. Bacon said that executive orders from presidents from both sides have gotten out of hand. You can't change the law, Representative Bacon said. I think Republicans should stay true to that notion. Again, according to The Atlantic, he did call the White House after that EO was signed. And then the Office of Management and Budget, which, by the way, is being headed up by Russell Vogt, one of the main architects of Project 2025, which a lot of Trump supporters say that wasn't a thing. They hadn't heard anything about it. None of their friends had heard anything about it, so therefore it wasn't important. Yeah, it's important. Some of these things that happened yesterday are directly out of the Project 2025 playbook. It's just accurate. The memo clarifying the scope of the Green New Deal section of this executive order. Yeah, the clarifications, though, not so clear. Representative Rosa DeLauro from Connecticut's Democrat, the ranking member of the House Appropriations Committee, says she thinks everything is at risk, calling Trump's executive order illegal and calling his move to freeze federal funds as stealing. She said it's creating chaos. I honestly don't think the people who are dealing with this know what they're doing. That's certainly reassuring.
What doesn't completely make sense to me about, and this is comes from my purely cynical view that all politicians, particularly Republicans, goal is to line the pockets of business owners. But so from that outlook, stopping this infrastructure funding, like the federal government doesn't have road constructors. They're hiring private contractors.
Exactly.
So I guess the people who own these contracting firms that build roads just don't have the cash to interest Republicans. I'm not sure.
Are they not making big enough donations?
Yeah, I guess that's what I was alluding to.
I could, yes, I can see where that would be a problem. Again, going back to Russell Vogt, leading architect of the Project 2025 playbook, during his hearing last week, he refused to say if he would allow the president to violate the Impoundment Control Act of 1974 that stops presidents from denying the disbursements of federal funds already approved by Congress. He would not say under oath if Trump will abide by the law. Telling the Senate Budget Committee for 200 years, presidents had the ability to spend less than an appropriation if they could do it for less. This doesn't change the fact that Donald Trump does not have the power of the purse. And these funds were already approved by Congress. So I don't know exactly on which authority Donald Trump can come in and say, no, you have to stop all this now because I want you to. 855-752-4842. What do you think about this move yesterday by the Trump administration? Does this concern you at all? We have been reaching out to several Meals on Wheels programs because that was one of the ones that there was a lot of concern that were going to be affected. Because, again, with a lot of these agencies, the way this memo was written, it didn't affect payments to individuals. It affected payments, freezing payments to agencies, which then distribute that money to organizations like Meals on Wheels. 855-752-4842. If you would like to join the conversation, Tony on the live stream says, wait, that OMB order didn't lower prices? No, Tony, I know. It's shocking. When we return, all the best press secretaries will do a little rundown and a little trip down memory lane. Stay with us. You are listening to Matt Nair on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. She gets mad and she starts to cry. She takes a swing, man. She can't hurt. She don't mean no harm. She just don't know what else to do about it.
This is News from the Center, WRCE.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. The Equal Protection Clause embedded in the U.S. Constitution's 14th Amendment is now being used to dismantle the 1965 Voting Rights Act, opening the door to even more voter suppression. Why is its history important? The 14th Amendment passed in 1868 and granted citizenship to formerly enslaved African Americans. The Equal Protection Clause reads, "No state shall make or enforce any law which shall abridge the privileges or immunities of citizens of the United States, nor shall any state deprive any person of life, liberty, or property without due process of law, nor deny any person within its jurisdiction the equal protection of the laws." Scholars agree that it was intended to stop states from discriminating against Black Americans. Yet, as the National Constitution Center points out, it was also used to justify the U.S. Supreme Court's Plessy v. Ferguson, allowing discriminatory, separate but equal schools, transportation, and accommodations in 1896. Another interpretation overturned that decision in Brown v. Board of Education in 1954. In 2023, it was used to eliminate race-based affirmative action for college admissions. U.S. Supreme Court conservatives, notably Justices Alito and Thomas, argue any consideration of race is a violation of the Equal Protection Clause. How might their interpretation impact voting rights? More on that in our next report.
Imagine home. The smell of coffee, the sound of a lawnmower, the sun's warmth on your face. Free to be yourself, surrounded by love that helps you grow. This is a place to call home. That's an American dream we all deserve. But in 50% of U.S. states, you could legally be denied housing if you are LGBTQ+. Get the facts and hear real stories at lovehasnolabels.com. Brought to you by Love Has No Labels and the Ad Council.
You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE.
Good morning. Welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, the Calinator, coming to you live from our studio here at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us, call or text. The number is the same, 855-752-4842. You can leave a comment if you're watching in the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Greg is off just for a couple of days. He will be back next Tuesday. Coming up after the 10:30 news, Emily Sevos will be joining us. She's a community organizer and advocate, also a mom and a former educator. And we are going to be talking about the closing of what looks like yet another birthing center in Wisconsin. And that is having major ramifications on the ground. So we will be talking about that after the 10:30 news. Dr. Kristen Lierley will be here after 11 o'clock. The hearing for Robert Kennedy Jr. to be head of Health and Human Services is going on as we speak. Carolyn Kennedy had a devastating video released yesterday about her cousin, Bob Jr. Whether or not this will have any effect on our senators who get to confirm Bob Jr. remains to be seen, but we will talk about what this would mean for our health and the health of our children here in Wisconsin if Robert Kennedy Jr. is confirmed as the head of Health and Human Services. That's coming up after the 11 o'clock news. Want to remind you as well, we need you to be a voter. It's very, very important that we all stay involved. This last election, millions of people sat out and did not cast a ballot. And I heard Dom Salvia say, I think, Calvin, that you might not do politics, but at some point politics is going to do you. So it's better if you get involved and stay informed. Our Wisconsin spring primary election is Tuesday, February 18th. You can check your voter registration status, find out your polling place, and make a plan to be a voter in the spring election. Just go to myvote.wi.gov. And then the real important one, the spring general election, Tuesday, April 1st. That's where the Supreme Court race will be on the ballot. Republican Brad Schimmel versus Democrat Susan Crawford for a spot on the Wisconsin Supreme Court. Of course, the current court is the only reason we have fairer maps. So if we would like to go backwards, I think that should be an easy choice. If we would like to go backwards to less fair maps and essentially consolidating power among Wisconsin Republicans, cast your vote for Brad Schimmel, because it's pretty much a given, I would say, that he will vote. However, I don't know, Robin Voss would like him to vote. I did want to go just briefly, Calvin, because it makes me laugh. Have a little run down memory lane. Donald Trump's latest and newest press secretary, Caroline Leavitt, held her first press conference yesterday. She is the youngest press secretary ever. She's 27 years old. But remember some of Donald Trump's greatest press secretary hits, including his very first one, Sean Spicer? Sean Spicer, who famously came out after Trump's first inauguration, screeching that it was the biggest crowd who'd ever seen an inauguration ever, even though we saw the evidence with our own little two eyes.
Yeah, as a general rule, I don't envy press secretaries.
I don't disagree with you. It really,
yeah.
Yeah, it's a tough spot to be in.
I mean, yeah, the media just asked really loaded questions, and especially things that they're probably not permitted to speak on a lot of times. So it's just like the position of being in an awkward position.
No doubt about it. But when you compare Jen Psaki,
yes,
who was brilliant and always super well prepared, I don't think I ever saw her get thrown off her game.
Yeah, no, there's definitely good ones and bad ones, and I think Donald Trump has a string of bad ones.
All the best people, Calvin. All the best press secretary, Sean Spicer, was his first one. Then, of course, he moved on to Sarah Sanders, who famously, Michelle Wolf, the comedian, when she spoke at the White House Correspondents' Dinner, did a joke about Sarah Sanders and said she has the ability to burn facts and then use it as the perfect smoky eyeshadow.
Yeah, I definitely remember Sarah Sanders better than Sean Spicer.
Sean didn't last very long.
Yeah, and I don't know. She definitely fit the ridiculousness of the administration.
After Sarah Sanders, it was Stephanie Grisham. I don't know that Stephanie ever held any press conferences. She might have held one. And then Kayleigh McEnany, also one of the press secretaries for Donald Trump in his first administration. This time around, though, as we said, it is Caroline Leavitt, 27 years old, who held her first press conference yesterday. She said that there have been 3,500 arrests so far that ICE has made since Donald Trump has been in office. She was asked how many of these people have a criminal record versus those who are just in the country illegally. Her response was, quote, all of them, because they illegally broke our nation's laws. So can you legally break our nation's laws? Because Caroline just said they illegally broke our nation's laws.
Well, you can legally break the laws if you're president of the United States.
That's true. The Supreme Court said that.
So that's the one stipulation.
There's the caveat right there. It was interesting. Reporter again asked if all the people who have been arrested had criminal records, if they broke our nation's laws. Yes, they are a criminal. Federal immigration authorities have arrested again about 3,500 illegal immigrants, mainly targeting those with criminal records. On Sunday, ICE arrested 1,000 people and detained 554. We will be keeping you up to date on all things the Trump administration. A couple of texts I wanted to share before we go to the news. Ronnie from Horicon, we were talking about Trump's executive order yesterday that halted all this federal money that has been stayed now until Monday. And we were talking about some of the government waste. Jane and Calvin, remember Bill Proxmire, Wisconsin senator, had a Golden Fleece Award for government waste. For example, Department of Defense paying for screws that cost $500 a piece. Laura from Mequon listening on WAUK. It sounds like the Trump administration is trying to see how far they can push the government closer to a dictatorship. Step by step, inch by inch, if they get away with this, what's next? News is coming up next. Stay with us. You are listening to Matt Nair on Air, coming to you across the Civic Media Radio Network.
News from the Center, WRCE. Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
For WRCE 107.7, I'm Joanne Krulotz. The Republican-backed candidate in Wisconsin's pivotal state Supreme Court race says he thinks anyone convicted of assaulting law enforcement officers should serve their entire sentence. But Brad Schimmel also said he didn't object to President Donald Trump using his power to pardon. Schimmel made the comment Monday when asked about Trump's granting of clemency to about 1,500 rioters who were convicted of crimes related to the role in the 2021 attack on the U.S. Capitol. Later in a written statement, Schimmel appeared to disagree with Trump's pardons and said that anyone convicted of assaulting law enforcement should serve their full sentence. Republicans want voters to curb the uniquely expansive partial veto powers that Wisconsin governors from both parties have enjoyed for nearly a century. Wisconsin is the only state where governors can partially veto spending bills by striking words, numbers, and punctuation to create new meaning or spending amounts. In most states, governors can only eliminate or reduce spending amounts. Republican state lawmakers on Monday took the latest swing at reducing the veto powers, proposing a constitutional amendment that would eliminate a governor's powers to delete words and rework sentences in bills that spend taxpayer money. The Republican-controlled Wisconsin legislature has asked that a liberal state Supreme Court justice step aside in a pending case that seeks to overturn a 2011 law that effectively ended collective bargaining for most state workers. If Justice Janet Protasiewicz agrees not to hear the case, the court would be deadlocked 3-3 between liberals and conservatives. A Dane County Circuit judge last month overturned the bulk of the law. The judge determined it was unconstitutional. The judge put the ruling on hold pending the appeal. Unions that brought the case have asked the Wisconsin Supreme Court to take it directly, skipping the appeals court. I'm Joanne Krulotz.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Lady Gaga is not used to getting bad reviews when it comes to her music or acting. That ended big time when Joker Folie à Deux was panned by critics and audiences alike. Gaga put things in perspective in a recent chat with Elle magazine, saying people just sometimes don't like some things. She sounded unfazed, though, continuing that fear of failure is worse than actual failure, and if it takes over, can cause mayhem. Don't you hate it when your parole officer puts the kibosh on you hosting Saturday Night Live? Martha Stewart sure does. She whined to the perfect audience on The Tonight Show starring cheerleader Jimmy Fallon about how she missed her opportunity to host the show 20 years ago because of said parole officer. Maybe she'll get another opportunity since time has passed since she was convicted for conspiracy and obstruction of justice, as well as an insider trading scandal. It's so stressful when rich celebrities don't get everything they want. Maybe she can cry on her equally as annoying BFF Snoop Dogg's shoulder. For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
Just a little cooler today with a mix of sun and clouds and breezy winds still. As high temperatures reach 40 degrees, tonight they'll slide to the mid-20s. And for tomorrow, likely some record-breaking highs because we're going to soar to the mid-50s. We'll be soaking up the sunshine and feeling like spring. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlau. It's 37 degrees at our studios.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Where are you at with dome stadiums?
Oh, love them. Snow games are awesome, but it's also a risk of injuries and everything.
Give me a dome anytime. I don't want to see elite athletes running on snow like it's me playing out there and tripping and slipping. I want to watch those guys run. I want the receivers to run and catch their passes. I want to see great athletes being great athletes.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Carmelo Anthony for The Bail Project.
Bad news, you've been arrested. Good news, you're innocent until proven guilty. If you can pay your bail, good news, you go home to wait your trial. If you can't, sorry, you go to jail to wait. But sure, you still presumed innocent. But since you can't afford bail, you've lost your freedom. That's not right. And that's why The Bail Project helps those who can't afford it while fighting the in-cash bail. Because freedom should be free.
Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Dom Salvia.
Next time, Mayor Cavalier Johnson says the freeze on federal grants impacts literally tens of millions of dollars to the city of Milwaukee. Plus, should you get fired for doing porn on your own time? Tune in.
The Dom Salvia Show. Weekdays 4 till 6.
Good morning and welcome to Matt and Air on Air. Jane Matt and Air, Callan Butenoff, coming to you live from our studio here at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us. Call or text. The number is the same. It's 855-752-4842. You can leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Excited to be joined by our guest. She's back again. Emily Zuffos is a former teacher, a mom, and the county party chair for the Democrats in Outagamie County. Good morning, Emily. Thank you so very much for being here. How are you?
I'm doing fine. Thanks for having me. I'm excited to be back.
Great. We're going to start this. I saw this morning on WPR, Wisconsin Public Radio, from Joe Schultz. And the headline reads, "We're feeling powerless. Wapaka community rallies to oppose ThetaCare's planned birthing unit closure. They would end their labor and delivery services at the Wapaka Hospital on February 15th. You were on the ground yesterday hearing from folks. I can't even imagine what they're feeling.
Yeah, I was talking with a nurse that lives in New London, but is very familiar with the services Wapaka provides. And that community is really, they're feeling like they're up a creek in more ways than one when it comes to the services they're able to, you know, receive and what that's going to do to their community, not only in the short term, but down the road as well.
Well, and this is a growing problem, not just in parts of Wisconsin, but all over the country, and especially in rural areas with smaller hospitals closing. We still have the Joint Finance Committee here in Wisconsin that is still sitting on money that was approved to go to Western Wisconsin when their hospitals closed. And yet, you know, that money hasn't been given out yet. So what does this mean? In late November, apparently, one couple found out that ThetaCare would end its labor and delivery services at its Wapaka Hospital on February 15th. So for folks like this woman cited in this article, she's like, I'm 3.5 weeks away from delivering. What am I supposed to do now?
I know. And like having had, you know, kids not too long ago, like just knowing all of the uncertainties that you face during a pregnancy and that, you know, even in seemingly normal circumstances, things can go wrong, and to have like the care that you need that is appropriate to your situation nearby is so critical. And I feel for those individuals because my goodness, it's a lot of extra stress in an already stressful time.
Absolutely. And it seems to me, Emily, and I, again, just from things I've read and comments I've seen from politicians, I think there is this misguided notion that most pregnancies are just smooth sailing, baby. Mm-hmm. Everything is fine. My wife had 3 children and all of her pregnancies were fine. And therefore, that leads to pregnancy is fine.
And it's so anecdotal in that it's like based on that one personal experience you had, and also like the assumption that everyone's going to experience the world in the same way or has the same access to transportation or anything like that. Like all of these things need to be taken into consideration. And I think like one of the interesting angles of this is that we need to like call out the fact that oftentimes these are ultimately the result of like policy choices along the way that were good, bad, or otherwise. And in this case, it's things like expanding Medicaid and making sure reimbursement is appropriate so that there are providers across the state that are incentivized to accept Medicaid and making enough money so the hospitals aren't just eating it. Like there's so many policy choices that are attached to this. And then ultimately, like those expectant parents are the ones that are suffering and worried at the end of it all. And we just need to like, it's calling for being proactive rather than reactive is such an important part of all of this.
Well, and now that you brought up Medicaid, going back to what happened yesterday with the Trump administration releasing this executive order halting, freezing federal money to agencies, Medicaid portals all over the country were not accessible for hours yesterday, despite claims from the Trump administration that that wasn't happening or it wasn't that big of a deal. This should be concerning for everyone, especially when we hear from the same administration how important children are and how important it is for women to have more children, Emily. And yet at the same time, where is the funding to help women have healthy children? That apparently is just on them.
Yeah. And I feel like it's so you're operating under the assumption that the system is set up for people to be able to thrive in every situation. And it's not that. And so you need these programs. And I think like when I was appalled because I think there were, according to how it was written and rolled out, 2,600 programs that potentially are, you know, that are having to go through the, are you, you know, it, does this promote gender ideology and all the crazy, crazy questions. And I think like, looking through them, it affects our agricultural sector. It affects like our healthcare. There's so many different pieces because ultimately, like as much as people like to hate on the government, there's some really necessary services that are provided by our government. And to take those away is going to have real world impacts and implications that are like terrible. They're going to turn emergencies into tragedies. They're going to, you know, make it a lot harder for our farmers potentially to be able to survive. Like there's so many different people across the state of Wisconsin that would be affected by this.
It's interesting that you say that. Todd Albaugh had Luke Mathers on yesterday on his show, and Luke said the same thing as far as we're all about to get a crash course in just how the government works and how so many things are intertwined and all the many services that our government provides that we don't think about because they're always there, right?
Yep, exactly. And it's dependent upon the, like, you know, I feel like it's so much of this is headlines, right? Like that's what it is. It's a smoke and mirrors kind of show. That's what this administration always has been and will be. But like, how do we break through that, right? Like how do we, because I think there was with Tom Tiffany up in the 7th did like a listen. He was out on the road, I think in Rice Lake or around there yesterday.
Yes.
And I think like, we need to make sure that in every situation we are calling to direct like attention and accountability. Hey, here's how it's impacting me. Like, right. Like Head Start programs,
yep.
Mental health program, like cancer research,
Meals on Wheels.
Yes, I know. It's really a terrible, terrible thing.
It is. And again, this came out of nowhere. This wasn't something that Trump had campaigned on or talked about. Gosh, it's almost reminiscent of the whole Act 10 thing with Scott Walker, who never mentioned it when he was on the campaign trail. And then that was one of the first things he shoved through when he got elected. It's like, let's not tell him. We'll just surprise him.
Yeah. And it's been like really, you know, he's been dehumanizing and othering all of these groups of people that are like, you know, dependent on these programs and things like that. And so that it's set it up for people to be like, yeah, we should, you know, like that they're able to take some of that like sentiment that they've created, and then they're going to push through things and people will be okay with it without realizing it until it's too late, right? Until
they realize that it's their daughter who's going to get affected, or their son, or their or their elderly parent who is able to stay at home because in part of a program like Meals on Wheels.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, then it's going to really hit home. 855-752-4842. If you would like to join the conversation, Jack from Merrimack is on the line. Good morning, sir. What do you want to say about this?
Good morning. Well, it's kind of ironic. Trump, first of all, fires all the people who are responsible for checking and making sure that government is efficient and its money is not wasted. Those are called inspectors general, I think.
Yep.
And then he says, oh, we got to check into the waste on this, so we're going to cancel these programs until we figured out what's waste. Excuse me? You had people on board whose total job was supposed to be doing something like that. The hypocrisy just, it you know, I should really expect it by now, but it does continue to amaze me.
You know what, though, Jack? I think we're at a point, unfortunately, where some people are hypocrisy immune. And they're certainly shame immune. Don't you think?
Oh, you got that right. I don't remember exactly. I think it comes from the McCarthy era, where someone was talking to either McCarthy or something like that in a hearing, and the statement was, Senator, have you no shame? Well, in this case, it's Mr. President, have you no shame? And the answer is clearly, nah.
Well, and now it's a badge. Now I think it's a badge of honor. I really do. It's like, yep, I have no shame. You can play the words that I said 2 months ago to my face, and I don't care. If it completely goes against what I am saying right now, that doesn't bother me. I feel no shame. Yep, whatever. Let's move on. Thanks, Jack. Always appreciate you checking in and very much appreciate you listening. If you're just joining us, Emily Zephos is our guest, former teacher and a county party chair in Outagamie County. Last time we had you on, Amy, we were talking about knocking on doors and what you would like to see the DNC do going forward. But right now we're talking about some of the on-the-ground ramifications here in Wisconsin, particularly about ThetaCare in Wausau ending its labor and delivery services at its Waupaca Hospital on February 15th. And you brought up something I think is really important, Emily. We've been pushing in Wisconsin now for this expansion for Medicaid for new moms because currently a month? They get coverage mm-hmm. for a month? And yeah. there's a push for them to get coverage for an entire year because I know it's shocking, but when you have a baby, it's not like the next day your body just goes shoom and goes right back to normal.
Right. Well, I mean that, and then we could like also go into the childcare crisis, and then how do you find childcare in a timely, you know, within that amount of time? So there's a lot of factors that you have to consider with that. But yeah, it's we don't do the policy decision making that needs to be done to assist families as they're growing, right? If I mean, you mentioned at the top of the segment that, you know, we want people to have more babies, and that's like the whole thing. Make it easier.
Yes.
For people to make that decision by helping them along the way in it, like in the fact that the society, the system that we set up is only if like you achieve a certain amount of wealth or you have the certain support system. Like, no, you need to make it, we need to experience some sort of equity across the board so that it's easier for us.
For everybody. And what these hospital closings do and what these, the lack of childcare does is it discourages young families from moving here. If you're a newly married couple and you want to have three kids, why would you come to a state where you're going to have to drive an hour to get hospital care? And what if you have complications with your delivery? That is going to prevent people from moving here. And we're already behind in population here in Wisconsin.
And I think too, like an interesting point, because I ran in like a pretty rural district this last cycle. And not only are we talking about like this, you know, these maternity wards closing in the West, the hospitals closing, but also like we are struggling with like our emergency services in general in rural Wisconsin. And so like I have, you know, you talked to many, many people that are like, you know, well, we want people to move to these towns and we want to keep, you know, Waupaca or New London or anything else thriving. And I'm like, well, this is not, like to your point, it's not helping.
No.
And then on top, you have so many compounding issues on top of it, and all like it's all so connected, Jane. It's
isn't that it's interesting? So interesting. I'm like, ah. I know, but you're right. It's all interconnected, and this also plays into our schools and funding our public schools. And they want to push all this money toward voucher schools and charter schools. Well, there aren't a lot of those options in our more rural areas of the state. Their public school is it. And again, we want young families moving here. They need somewhere to send their kids, which is most often the public school.
Yes. And I think like, again, like it's the whole with these federal, you know, aid threats and the stoppage of the grants and things like that. We are going to see if that should come to fruition. All of those rural programs, again, are funded federally. So when you're talking healthcare or schools or infrastructure, all of that, we are going to see delays. We are going to see cuts. And like, it's going to hit hardest the people that can afford it least.
Absolutely.
Right? I can't get over the broad sweeping motion that was made and how it did it. I always say the cruelty is the point, right? Like there is zero regard for humans and the experiences that we have in this country. And it's just really a sad, sad time.
Well, and there is not going to be any celebration on one side that the other side is going to be suffering, because we're all going to be suffering from this. And as co-president Elon Musk already said, it's just going to be 2 years of hardship, you guys, and then it's all going to be roses. We're going to continue our conversation with Emily Zephos. Bill, I see you on the line. Hang on with us. We'll take you when we come back. You are listening to Matt Nair on Air, coming to you across the vast. We're statewide. We're countrywide. We are global if you got the app, baby, on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is News from the Center, WRCE.
Give the star in your life the brightest gift in the world. Name a star after them. This is Rocky Moselle with International Star Registry. For $59 and a call to 800-282-3333 or visit starregistry.com, you can name a star for birthdays, weddings, or even memorials. Over 45 years, we have named millions of stars for celebrities and individuals from around the world. The star you name will be recorded in book form in the U.S. Copyright Office. Visit starregistry.com or call 800-282-3333.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. On Monday, January 20th, Donald Trump returned to office, sworn in as the 47th President of the United States. Right out of the gate, he took a number of actions on his top issue, immigration. Perhaps the most troubling of these is one aiming to end birthright citizenship in America. An immigration attorney I talked to told me, "We're going to sit through a lot of BS over the course of the next weeks, months, and years, but this is the big one." My take? This action from the Trump administration is despicable, unconstitutional, and fundamentally anti-American. The day after the order was issued, Governor Tony Evers and Attorney General Josh Call joined a coalition of 20 states challenging this action in court. This legal battle will be a tremendously important one for all of us to follow.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area and on our website at civicmedia.us. The Maggie Dawn Show.
Seems everywhere in the state, housing has just gotten so expensive. Our current president ran on promises to help the middle class, and I'd like to know what he's going to do about the housing shortages. I went through the executive orders. I read through the speech transcript a couple of times. Nothing he really said or did in the first couple days has anything to do with helping the middle class.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE.
Good morning. Welcome back to Matinair on Air. Jane Matinair, Calvin Butenoff coming to you live from our studio here at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us, call or text at 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and the platform that people are fleeing from. Come over to Blue Sky. It's a nice place over there. We're joined by Emily Zeffos. She is a former educator and the county party chair for the Democrats in Outagamie County. Really delighted to have you here, Emily. Before we went to the break, we were talking about the birthing center at ThetaCare in Wausau going to be closing February 15th. And we were talking about the interconnectedness of so many things that the government provides and this ongoing problem with attracting young families to Wisconsin. But when we starve our public schools and we close our hospitals and we make these things more difficult, shockingly, that is not a lure for younger families to relocate here. Bill from Oconomowoc has been very patient. Good morning, Bill. Thank you for joining us. What did you want to say about this? Hey, Bill. Bill, are you there? Well, Bill, you're not coming through. If you would like to call back, please do so. 855-752-4842. Just wanted to remind folks, after the 11 o'clock news, Dr. Kristen Lyerly will be joining us. We're going to be talking about Robert Kennedy Jr., who is having confirmations hearing as we speak. It's up on the TV here in the studio. And Wisconsin Senior Senator Ron Johnson was just bloviating. I mean, talking with many, many sheets of paper. And I'm sure he's making critically important points because we know that Ron Johnson is an expert when it comes to infectious diseases and all those things. But we'll be talking about Robert Kennedy Jr.'s qualifications to be the head of the Department of Health and Human Services after the 11 o'clock news. You had mentioned, Emily, that Tom Tiffany actually held a listening session yesterday. And it's interesting that one attendee there was complaining to Tom Tiffany that he and his brother-in-law are having a tough time with the disability compensation programs offered by the VA. This one gentleman explained how he was a helicopter pilot. He has a lingering hand injury, hearing loss, other issues because of his exposure to toxic chemicals. but he says the VA doesn't provide the full amount of compensation he should be receiving. Tom Tiffany said, don't worry, it's always a priority with veterans. And then was it an hour later that Donald Trump issued that memo, essentially shutting down and freezing all federal financial assistance, including the VA's disability compensation program?
Yeah. That's what I mean. And that's that one really stuck out to me because like the 7th is, you know, much of northern Wisconsin.
Right.
There's a lot of veterans that live up there, right? That served in the last few conflicts and are living their lives out there. And like that's VA, like healthcare, it's disability, like you mentioned, and it's housing assistance. And so like if those go, like I am so tired and frustrated by the, you know, saying the one-liner to appease a certain demographic,
yes,
and then actively working against it. And I'm like, I always think about it like from an organizing perspective. I'm like, how do we let everybody know,
right,
that Tom Tiffany is no friend of yours? You know, like, and how do we tell the people that? Because so much of this is educating the electorate.
It really is, but I can't even imagine your frustration because you actually do the door knocking and talk to folks. And we could bring up so many Wisconsin politicians. Tom Tiffany, Glenn Grothman comes to mind, a whole bunch of them. What are their accomplishments and what have they actually brought back to Wisconsin for the constituents? You might not like Tammy Baldwin, but Tammy Baldwin brings it home. She does. Mm-hmm. She brings money back to Wisconsin for projects in Wisconsin, as opposed to Ron Johnson, he loves to be on TV. He's very good at it. He's on all the time.
He finds that camera, does he?
He does. I'm sure they just seek him out. He doesn't really want the attention. It's got to be like talking to a brick wall sometimes when you talk to folks. But is it just, again, the ingrained of, I'm a Republican no matter what? Is that what you hear at doors?
It's a lot of historical, you know, like, and like we mentioned, the othering of entire swaths of humanity. And I think the same thing is done to us politically nowadays. And I will, like, our focus in Outagamie County, like going up to the April election, of course, with the Supreme Court, but throughout, is just going to be like being face to face with our neighbors, because that is the only way in to break through all of this. So it's getting, you know, organized and empowered in our local communities to be able to like have these kind of conversations at their door. Because if it's not right in your face, yeah, and you're not experiencing it directly, it's really difficult to get anyone to care or to think anything different.
And you bring up something really important too, Emily. Now is the time to get involved. We talked about this a little bit yesterday. I know people are tired. I know people are worried. Channel it somewhere. Do something. Contact your local county organizing party. Get involved, knock on doors. One of our listeners said you can start sending out postcards. They're doing postcards now for the April 1st election, the big, big Supreme Court election here in Wisconsin. There are things you can do, small things to much bigger things, but take that despair and put it somewhere that's useful. You will feel better.
Yeah, I will say, like, I've kind of been digesting like what's been coming out of Washington in ways that are manageable for me, because that's just like self-care. Yeah. And it's like, this is shock and awe, where it's meant to overwhelm you and it's meant to inundate you. And like, to counteract that, you just have to do the work, and do the work in the way that you can, in the small area that you can. If we all do that and carry a little bit of the load, we'll see, you know, positive results. And that's important.
Emily Sepos has been our guest. She's going to join us again on Monday when Greg is gone. Thank you so very much, Emily. Really appreciate it. We got news coming up next. Stay with us. You were listening to Matt Nair on Air on the Civic Media Radio Network.
News from the center, WRCE. Maggie Dawn.
RFK's confirmation hearings start. Will his vaccine skepticism put your kids' lives at risk? We discuss next.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekday afternoons from 2 till 4.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Seems everywhere in the state, housing has just gotten so expensive. Our current president ran on promises to help the middle class, and I'd like to know what he's going to do about the housing shortages. I went through the executive orders. I read through the speech transcript a couple of times. Nothing he really said or did in the first couple days has anything to do with helping the middle class.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram. This is News from the Center, 1450 AM WRCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center. And always on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. The Justice Department has abandoned all criminal proceedings against the two co-defendants of President Trump in the classified documents case. It wipes out any legal issues that Walt Nauta and Carlos D. Oliveira could have faced. On Capitol Hill, confirmation hearings have begun for HHS Secretary nominee Robert F. Kennedy Jr., who was interrupted by a protester when he told the Senate Finance Committee he's not against vaccinations.
News reports have claimed that I'm anti-vaccine or anti-indigent. I am neither. I am pro-safety.
Kennedy has called vaccines unsafe. In opening remarks, though, he said all of his children were vaccinated. Former New Jersey Senator Bob Menendez faces the possibility of 15 years behind bars when he's sentenced today for taking bribes. Federal Reserve wrapping up its interest rate meeting this afternoon, expected to keep interest rates the same. This is ABC News.